our spiritual life, there's windows of opportunity. And if we're not ready to step through those windows of opportunity, those seasons and times may pass us by.
This is Straight Talk.
Thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Job, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church here in Chicago. Pastor Mark, this series, Don't Stop Believing, has been incredibly powerful on the life of Abraham. And today's message, you talk about learning to seize the God moments.
Yeah, you know, we all have those God moments. And I happen to believe that God, our incredible Father, is always reaching out to us, speaking to us primarily through His Word, but by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, bringing people into our life. And we have these moments, these special moments in where God steps in unusual ways. We can either receive those moments and maximize them, or we can really waste those moments. And this is about that, how to seize on those God moments in a special way like Abraham had with God.
Yeah, sometimes I think people feel, well, you know, if God's going to work in my life, He's going to work in my life, and I really don't have any responsibility in the matter. But in today's message, you point out that we really do have to take those opportunities, seize them, and play a part in them. And Abraham does that.
He really does. And he actually steps forward and he shows hospitality to this God moment. He maximizes it. He's distracted. He almost loses it, but he maximizes it. And I think in my life, Joshua, I've had some times in my life where I know that God stepped in unusual, powerful ways to deal with my heart. And some of those have been life transforming. I had a choice at the moment. I could dismiss them. I could harden my heart, or I could humbly and gently embrace what God was speaking to me. Some of you may be listening to this program today, and this may be the preparation for a God moment. I'm wondering what you're going to do with it.
Mm. Well, that's what this message is going to be about, giving you some steps to actually take to embrace this God moment. We are in Genesis chapter 18. The series is called Don't Stop Believing, and today's message is called Learning to Seize the God Moments. Let's get right into the Word.
Over the last several weeks, we have been talking about Mr. Faith himself, Abraham. I hope you've been learning something about faith. How many of you say, hey, I've been learning something about faith recently? All right, there's about five of you that have, and I'm happy to know that. This morning, I want to talk to you about learning to seize the God moments. I don't know if you've ever been waiting at a bus stop and or just walking up to a bus stop when the bus stops and you're just about to miss it and you're running and you say, hey, I'm here. And that bus driver seems like, hey, he doesn't notice you and keeps going on because you only have a window of opportunity to catch that bus. How about it? Or maybe you're like me, I travel a lot, and so I've spent a lot of time in O'Hare Airport. And when I've traveled with my family at times, I remember coming into the airport and being in a hurry. You're so tired from the trip, ready to get out of the airport, and you're waiting at the conveyor belt as the luggage comes down that little ramp and starts coming around. Have you ever been waiting by that conveyor belt and there's two or three people in front of you? And you're looking for your piece of luggage. I don't know what it is about luggage, but everybody seems to get big black pieces of luggage. So they all look the same. And so you're kind of trying to figure out, is that your piece of luggage or not? And you know that where you're standing, you only have a small window of opportunity to catch your piece of luggage. And I've been there before, where especially traveling with my wife, where there's a huge piece of luggage, and I have to say, excuse me, try to grab it. And then, of course, you're trying to pull this luggage off the conveyor belt, knocking people over a little bit, because I know that if I don't catch it there, then I've missed my window and I have to wait till it comes around the next time. But I believe our spiritual life is kind of like that. Sometimes in our spiritual life, there's windows of opportunity. And if we're not ready to step through those windows of opportunity, those seasons and times may pass us by. That's what we find here in Genesis chapter 18. as Abraham encounters a brief window of opportunity in which he does not allow the presence of God to pass by. Now, if you're newer here this morning, some of you are just kind of figuring out how to handle your Bible. Genesis is the very first book of the entire Bible. So if you turn right to the front of your Bible, about the middle of Genesis, that big number 1-8 signifies the chapter, and the little numbers signify the verse. And we're going to be reading out of verse 1 of Genesis chapter 18. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham." Remember, Abraham's name had been changed from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham in the last chapter, which means father of a great nation. "And the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day." Now, Abraham had camped out and was living about 18 miles away from the city of Sodom where Lot lived, his nephew. By the way, this great trees of Mamre was a holy area. It was a sacred area. Abraham was living there, and God appears to him. You say, well, how did God appear? Did he show up in a vision? Did he hear this thunderous voice from heaven? No, God appears to him in a very unique way. In fact, he appears to him as a stranger. It tells us here in Scripture that the Lord appeared to Abraham near the trees while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Now, it's interesting how he appeared and when he appeared. Now, if you've ever been to the Middle East or heard about the Middle East, you understand that the middle of the day is a very, very hot time. I mean, it's like desert conditions in the Middle East. And pretty much in the middle of the day, you don't want to do anything. That's not the time where you go out and say, hey, let's go garden right now, or let's go dig the hole, or let's go build a building, because it's so brutally hot that people would have to take a break. Sort of like taking the siesta in the middle of the day. And Abraham was forced into stopping in the middle of the day because it was so hot. Now, Abraham's not this guy that's just hanging out with nothing to do. He's a businessman. He has over 300 men that work for him. He's got cattle, and he's got business transactions and land. He's a busy guy. He's an entrepreneur. He's successful. He's prosperous. He's busy. But he's forced to take a break because it's so hot. Right there, when he's forced to take a break, suddenly he sees three individuals walking towards his way, and they sort of pass by the camp, and it tells us that, verse 2, Abraham looked up, and he saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bowed low to the ground. And he said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by." If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. I want to talk to you about how to learn to seize the God moments and not let them pass you by. Number one, we must learn to recognize the God encounter moments and not let them pass us by. It's interesting to me to note that Abraham was forced into inactivity. It was one of these forced pauses. It was so hot he couldn't do anything else. Last summer, almost every summer here in Chicago, we have a few of those days, right, where the temperature hits up to 110, and it's one of those days that you just don't want to do anything outside, where it's almost dangerous to be out there and do hard labor. Abraham was one of those moments. Everything had to stop. I think of those forced moments that we go through. I've experienced them. Chicago traffic, how about it? Driving down the expressway, little fender bender, and suddenly there you are, stuck an extra half hour in traffic. Half the times, it's not even because there's an accident in the road. It's because they call it a gaper's block. People just kind of are so nosy, they got to stop and watch it. So slows everything down for a half hour. Or how about going to the doctor's office where you set an appointment at 10 o'clock And finally at 10:40, your doctor can see you. I'm wondering if we showed up late to the doctor, if he'd still see us. But you're stuck in a doctor's office reading through old magazines of Reader's Digest or some golf magazine that's right there. You're sort of in a forced stop. You can't control it, or you're about to pick up your son from a game from school and it's delayed and you're waiting there in the car. It's one of these moments that there's no planned activity, but you're just stuck there. Here's what I've discovered. I've discovered that if people are sensitive to God, that God can even show up at those moments. In fact, I've learned over the years to take advantage of those moments. I used to complain and grumble, God, do I have to be stuck in traffic? I have so much to do. Lord, would you just speed up the traffic? I'm one of those guys that switches lanes a lot to try to get into the faster lane. And I don't know if it happens to you, but every time you switch lane, it seems like the one you get in slows down. Is that just me, or is, hey, this one's really going, I switch over, and then suddenly they're passing my lane, switch over to this one, and now it's going slow. I said, what is up with this? It's a conspiracy here. But I've learned over the years to do this. I've learned over the years that maybe sometimes it's God's way of saying, hey, I need some time with you. And so what I've decided to do is turn those traffic moments into God time. Okay, God, I'm going to be stuck in traffic an extra half hour. I'm just going to spend some time worshiping you. I'm going to pray a little bit extra longer. I'm going to turn this into some time where I can just commune with you and take advantage of those down times. Or in the doctor's office, I carry a book with me, my Bible with me, and my case, take my Bible out and just spend some communion time with God. I believe that God is looking to show up even in our down times and show up in times where we can connect with God even when we're doing something else or something unexpected. That's what happened to Abraham. He's in a forced pause, waiting at the door of his tent. He's sweating. It's a hot day. There's three strangers. And it's interesting that as these strangers are walking by, that Abraham shows hospitality to them, but I know that the Middle East was known for its hospitality, and there was sort of a code of ethics of hospitality, but Abraham seems to show extraordinary hospitality. I think Abraham knew something was going on. I think he didn't exactly know who these strangers were, but he sensed this was a God moment. You see, look what happens. It says that he bows down. He implores them not to pass by. He says, come on, could you please stay?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Learning to Seize the God Moments, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of the message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Our Straight Talk program is called Learning to Seize the God Moments.
It reminds me a little bit of Luke chapter 24, verses 31 through 32. Do you remember that story when Jesus had resurrected? And he's walking down the street with a couple of other disciples, and they're talking about what had happened and how Jesus was crucified and resurrected. And they didn't know it was Jesus walking with them. They didn't recognize Jesus. But the passage says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight, and they ask each other, hey, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scriptures to us? See, they were just kind of walking around, walking along, talking with Jesus. They thought he was a stranger, but when he left, they said, hey, did you notice something in your heart like burning? I mean, hey, could you tell there was something special going on? Could you tell that this wasn't a normal conversation? Did you sense deep inside of your heart that something was going on? They say, yeah, I felt it too. Man, something was going on. I think that when God shows up, that you may not understand with your mind or your soul or your body, but I believe that your spirit knows that something unusual is taking place. You say, well, Pastor, what is What do you mean with our spirit? What do you mean by that? Well, in Thessalonians, it tells us that we are to honor God, or God wants to sanctify our entire being, our body, soul, and spirit. And I believe that every human being is composed of body, which is your physical, that which we see, touch, that which can get hurt. Our soul, which is our personality, it's our intellect, our will, and emotions. And then our spirit. A lot of us understand our soul and our body, but it's hard for us to define our spirit. I would define our spirit sort of as our spiritual antenna that connects to God. You see, it tells us in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. You see, you may know about God up in your head. But if you're going to really worship him, it's not just about truth in your head. It's about also connecting spiritually with God. And I believe that when we are spiritually tuned, that when God shows up and God starts doing something, even though our mind or our body may not sense it, I believe that our spirit does, because our spirit is the spiritual antenna that catches the God presence. Yeah. I'd explain it that way. You know, I have a TV at my home that just doesn't get good reception, except on the obscure channels for some reason. We were watching the Olympics, and Channel 5 on the Olympics, and just seemed like I couldn't tell if it was snowing there or if my TV was just fuzzy. And my kids would say, "Hey, Dad, could you fix the TV?" And so I've climbed on the roof and messed around, tried to fix it. So I had an antenna on top of our TV, and I was fiddling around with it, holding it, and the kid said, "Okay, now it's good." As soon as I let go, it would go fuzzy again. And so I'd hold it, and they'd say, "Now it's good." So, "Dad, could you just stay there?" Okay. And I think it's a bit like that in our spiritual life. I believe that you and I, oftentimes, we are the antenna. And when we are spiritually tuned, we are the antenna that helps people see clearly the image in the presence of God. And when your spirit is sensitive to the Spirit of God, then when you are walking in the Spirit of God and you are sensitive to the Spirit of God, it is through you oftentimes that the picture of God becomes clearer to the people that are around you. And I believe Abraham was like that. He sensed that in these three individuals, something extraordinary. They weren't just strangers. Something different was happening with these people. In fact, in theological terms, what was happening was what we call a theophany. It means that the pre-incarnate Christ took on a bodily form and showed up. The Bible says there were three individuals, two of them were angels, and one is referred to as the Lord. It's like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that story? Three went in the furnace, and there was a fourth person in the furnace. You remember that? And they said, "He's like the Lord." In the Old Testament, Jacob wrestled with someone, and he wrestled with the Lord. The pre-incarnate God shows up and takes a physical form. And in this passage, this unusual thing happens, that God shows up as a human being in a physical form. As they're walking by, Abraham senses, hey, something unusual is happening here. I need to stop these people right now. I need to invite them in, because I can't let this presence pass on by. You see, it takes spiritual sensitivity to be able to do that. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers." You say, "Pastor, I've been trying to teach my kids not to entertain strangers." It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." It says, hey, you know, there's some of you may have entertained angels. You say, "I don't remember any angels, but maybe I entertained a few fallen angels." I think, by the way, just on a side note, this is a real encouragement towards hospitality. I think at times in our modern busy world, we have lost a sense of hospitality. And I believe that the people of God need to be the most hospitable people on the face of this earth. If anybody's going to open their home up, if anybody's going to invite someone over for a meal, if anybody's going to say, hey, why don't you come on over? It should be the people of God. How about it?
Amen.
Right. In fact, do you realize that a qualification for a spiritual leader is that they be hospitable?
Hey.
Really? And they got to know the Bible, they got to do this, they got to watch their character, and they have to be hospitable. That means that they have to be willing to open up their home and be friendly, not be afraid of people. By the way, I think one of the things that really creates community in our setting, we live in such a fragmented society, such a place where people don't connect a lot, and people really feel isolated out there, and I believe that the people of God need to say, hey, we are to be a hospitable place. And I think one of the things that really connects people together is as people invite each other over to their homes to eat, as people go out to eat and treat other people and open up their homes and say, hey, let's get together and let's chat and let's come together and fellowship and hang out. Why? Because that's part of developing communion and community. In fact, let me say this. If you've ever been a visitor, a guest somewhere, you know how uncomfortable it feels to enter in an auditorium and feel like I don't know anybody here. And there may be some of you that are visiting for the first time and you don't know what to expect. And you say, I don't even know anybody here. And I believe that we as the people of God, as the community of faith, need to go out of our way to be hospitable to other people. Because sometimes it's that very hospitality that is able to create relationships that shows people the Jesus in us. So that's a freebie. A little hospitality needs to be shown. Abraham was stopped these strangers and he showed them hospitality. He sensed that God was there. Maybe he couldn't explain it, but he sensed that God was there. And so we see that Abraham was being still. We see that Abraham was paying attention. He was focused in on these visitors and he stayed focused. I mean, this guy went out of his way. Look at what he does. The Bible says that he... immediately in verse 4, he says, let me give you a little water so that you may wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. You see, in Middle Eastern culture, the roads weren't paved, and so people would walk all day on these dirty, dusty roads in open-toed sandals, and so their feet would get pretty dirty and grimy. So Middle Eastern hospitality required that if you were going to host someone, that what you would do is you would wash their feet. And then you would have a cloth to wash their face. And that was just part of hospitality. That was what it meant to be a good neighbor. So Abraham brings these people in, but he goes the extra mile, which leads me to my second point. Not only must we learn to recognize the God encounter moments and not let them pass us by, but we also need to understand that God stops and responds to our heartfelt invitation and lavish hospitality. I mean, Abraham goes all out. Look at verse 3 to 5. I mean, he stops them. He says, hey, don't pass us by. I'm your servant. He bows down. He washes their feet. He encourages them to stay. They say, very well. Look at verse 6. So Abraham hurried into his tent to Sarah. Quick! He's like a normal husband. He invites the guests and then puts his wife to work, right? Honey, but I didn't pray. Come on! We got guests here. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 seeds of fine flour, knead it, bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd. He selected a choice tender calf. I mean, this was no microwave dish he was doing. He had to actually go out to the cattle, find a cow, drag the cow in, kill the cow, cut the meat off the cow, fire up the grill, start cooking the meat. I mean, this wasn't a fast, easy thing. This wasn't, hey, let me pop in Stouffer's meal here, and let's all sit down and eat. This was a major ordeal.
This was the first half of our message called Learning to Seize the God Moments, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. On behalf of Pastor Mark and our Straight Talk team, we thank you again for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of our message called Learning to Seize the God Moments. Have a great night. God bless.